the power of innocence implies very clearly that one must be innocent until proven guilty. So the difference that we find between Islam and Christianity is that in Islam, everyone is innocent until proven guilty, whereas in Christianity, everyone is guilty until proven innocent. And by any civil system, for someone to be accused of something at the very start, that's a very unjust system, and that's not acceptable within the domain of God's religion. So the whole concept of original sin, as far as Islam is concerned, is a concoction. It is not true.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
Welcome back to your listeners. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So in continuation, of course, we were talking about the different body parts that we should be taking into consideration when we do istighfar. And we had talked a little bit about how there are lesser sins, smaller sins, and there are greater sins. The greater sins are those which are, they incur the most punishment. And lesser sins are those which incur punishment, but they are relatively not as bad as the greater sins. But we also said that sins in general are sins. They are the disobedience to the Almighty Allah, and whether lesser or greater, they have a detrimental effect upon our ubudiyah. And we also said something really important, which was that the continuation of lesser sins with arrogance and without remorse makes those lesser sins into greater sins. So a very interesting discussion. There's a book by Shaheed Ayatollah Dastaghayb Shirazi by the name of Greater Sins, which talks about these greater sins. Now, we had started to talk a little bit about the different body parts that we have that we should be careful of. And these are parts of our body which are related to our actions. So, for example, any part of your body which is related to an action, that is something that will be held accountable for, and it is something that we need to keep in mind. What are we using that body part for, which will be held accountable? Are we using that body part for something which is good, which is something which is permissible, something which is recommended? Or are we using that body part, God forbid, for something that is prohibited, something that is not permissible, something that is not recommended, something that is disliked by the Almighty Allah? And of course, we will be held accountable. Now, of course, we talked about our eyes. How many things do we see on a daily basis? And again, discussion for another program. But what do we do with our eyes? So, of course, you know, we might look at things that are haram, things that are prohibited, or with our hands. We might do something with our hands which is prohibited. You know, we might hurt other people. We might hit other people. We might write something which is not permissible. We might use our hands in manners that we should not be using. Likewise, our tongue. Now, of course, this is saying something or, you know, for example, lying or backbiting or gossiping or just being mean or cruel to another human being or eating something which is haram. Again, our ears, what are we listening to, and our feet when it comes to where we are going, where we are taking our whole body. All of these things, they need to be taken into consideration. We need to think about these things. We need to kind of hold ourselves accountable and here ask for forgiveness from the Almighty Allah. Remember these things, be ashamed, and after shame, we should ask for forgiveness and then hope and pray in the forgiveness of the Almighty Allah and then start to use these different body parts for good so that we can continue on our path to ultimate ubudiyah, ultimate worship, service, and obedience to Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at farstoday.ir. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
احتمي بحمام حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير حسبنا الله حسبنا الله
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Patience of Prophets and Believers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The prophets sent by Allah were by far the most patient. They were tortured, boycotted, badmouthed by the enemies of Allah, but all the prophets were steadfast and patient on the divine path of truth and righteousness. Did the prophets of Allah fight these battles that they had all alone, or were there others who accompanied them? This is a question one might ask. You know, were all the prophets just alone and by themselves? Or there are others throughout the history who accompanied them? Allah said in the Holy Quran, "And how many a prophet has fought alongside, whom were many worshippers of the Lord, so they did not become weak-hearted on account of what befell them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken, nor did they abase themselves, and Allah loves the patient." true worshippers, brothers and sisters, are those who accompany the prophets in the battle between haq and batil. That is, the battle between truth, righteousness, versus falsehood. Allah tests His servants through trials and tribulations. This is something consistent throughout the lives of all the prophets and their loyal companions. The prophets and their companions, they pass those tests through patience. This is why patience is so important in Islam. In the Holy Quran, several places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised those who are being patient in the face of tribulations and trials. So remember, it was not only the prophets of Allah that fought against the enemies of Allah. Rather, there were the companions, the loyal companions of each prophet that accompanied them. For instance, if you look at Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was Imam Ali alayhi salam by his side. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing patience of prophets and believers. And we said it's not just the prophets who fight in the way of Allah and who defend the religion of Allah. Rather, it is their companions as well who accompany them, although the loyal companions only. Sometimes this patience on the path of truth and justice is not understood properly by many. They equate patience to being tolerant in the face of oppression. Simply being tolerant is not the Quranic meaning of sabr. Sabr, which means patience, it, as a matter of fact, means forbearance, steadfastness, perseverance, and resistance. A lot of times when the word patience is used, you know, the common perception is that it is to put up with oppression. This is not the Quranic definition of sabr. The Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, there are three kinds of forbearance. Forbearance in misfortune, forbearance in obedience, and forbearance against disobedience. So when a misfortune falls upon a believer, they are patient. When it comes to the obedience of Allah, the believers are strong and patient in the face of difficulties they face on this path. And a believer is always patient and observes self-control when it comes to the topic of disobedience of Allah. So before they, you know, kind of lean towards committing a sin, they make sure that they're patient and they do not commit that sin, because disobedience of Allah is something that they don't want to be subjected to. So remember, patience is not just for the prophets. Even the loyal companions and the followers of the prophets, they are patient, steadfast, resilient, and resistant.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
According to new figures, some patients in England are waiting up to 2.5 years for important diagnostic tests such as ultrasound, MRI, and CT scans. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Long and deadly delays facing patients in the UK's public healthcare system have left a heavy toll on Britons, raising deaths more than fivefold between 2019 and 2022. A report published on Monday, 27th of November, in The Guardian revealed that about 8,000 people have been harmed and 112 have died as a result of deadly delays in medical care known as the National Health Service, the NHS. It cited figures from NHS England showing that patient deaths arising directly from care delays have risen more than fivefold over the last 3 years, from 21 in 2019 to 112 last year. The number of people who came to severe harm has also jumped from 96 to 152 during that same period. It added the overall number of people suffering some degree of harm in such circumstances has leaped from 3,979 in 2019 to 7,856 in 2022, a rise of 97%. Rachel Power, the chief executive of Patients Association, said, "These data are alarming and show quite clearly the human impact of the crisis in the National Health Service is having on individual patients." Rachel Power added, "We have been watching a disaster unfolding across the National Health Service and have repeatedly warned about the threat to patient safety because of it." The figures are taken from the National Health Service's National Reporting and Learning System, a database in which staff make an entry if they believe that a patient has had poor care. The Guardian obtained the statistics through a Freedom of Information Act request to NHS England, which only released the data after the Information Commissioner intervened. The Guardian said it should have released the figures after a month, but it took 5 months to do so. National Health Service England gave The Guardian anonymous details of 30 of last year's deaths. The NHS fatalities included a man seeking help due to cardiac arrest who died after waiting 18 minutes for his 999 call to be answered by the ambulance service. He was dead by the time the ambulance crew arrived. A cardiac arrest patient is meant to be attended by an ambulance crew within 7 minutes of the phone call being made because his or her life is at risk. Several other deaths involved ambulance services stacking 999 calls in which people are left on hold because they do not have the resources to answer them quickly. In another case, a patient who was starting chemotherapy for follicular lymphoma was also diagnosed with hepatitis B. They were initially treated but were then not seen in the hepatitis clinic and did not receive a further dose of a drug called tenofovir. The patient then developed fulminant hepatitis B and died subsequently. The website Reddit has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to Health Watch, the so-called statutory patient champion, patients who face long delays for care in England can feel forgotten. Louise Ansari, the watchdog's chief executive, said, "We know that delays to care have significant impact on people's lives, putting many in danger. People told us about being removed from waiting lists, sometimes without being told why or without being told at all." Andrew Batty, a 68-year-old former NHS worker, said He needed monthly treatment for macular degeneration, an eye disease that can rapidly blur the central vision if left untreated. However, he added, "It's a battle, basically, to get your appointment. My last one was supposed to be 4 weeks and was 7.5 weeks, and we only managed to get one because of a cancellation." He added, "You feel frustrated, but you also feel scared, knowing that you could lose your eyesight." Adam Sampson, the chief executive of the Association of Optometrists, warned, "We're facing a health emergency where more people than ever are waiting longer than ever for sight-saving treatment." Adam Sampson added, "It's incomprehensible and absolutely tragic that patients are experiencing delays to such an extent that they suffer further sight loss that is both avoidable and irreversible." A recent report about long and deadly delays facing patients in the United Kingdom's public healthcare system pointed out that NHS England figures were almost certainly a significant underestimate of the problem. It said accidents and emergency doctors have estimated that as many as 500 people a week may be dying because of delays in getting an ambulance, receiving accidents and emergency care, or starting specialist treatment. According to ambulance companies, an estimated 6,000 patients were exposed to severe harm in December of 2022 alone. An analysis by the Liberal Democrats of NHS data has found that some heart attack and stroke patients are waiting more than 90 minutes for an ambulance to arrive. Daisy Cooper, the Liberal Democrats' health spokesperson, pointed out, "We know that a matter of minutes can make all the difference in emergencies, so it is heartbreaking to see ambulance delays are worsening and heart attack and stroke victims being left waiting for hours for help to arrive." The British government is entangled in a continued dispute with doctors over pay and labour conditions. The officials say repeated strikes by the disgruntled doctors disrupt the health service in Britain. Website Open Access Government has also reported on the same story and tells us more. According to new figures, some patients in England are waiting up to 2.5 years for important diagnostic tests such as ultrasound, MRI and CT scans. Responses to Freedom of Information requests by the Liberal Democrats show the longest waits were 2.5 years for an MRI scan, almost 2 years for an ultrasound scan, and a year for a CT scan. People with heart problems are among the worst affected. Examples from NHS Trust include a 49-week wait for an echocardiogram and a 475-day wait for an angiography. Under the NHS Constitution, patients should wait less than 6 weeks for diagnostic tests to occur. According to research from the House of Commons Library, commissioned by the Liberal Democrats, the target is for only 1% to wait more than 6 weeks, but now 25% of all patients do so. The figures also show that the waiting list for diagnostic tests has shot up by more than 500,000 to 1.6 million, a rise of 50% since 2019.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
Allah, ma'allah. humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we're talking about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran, and in previous episode, we talked about the obstacles towards the way of perfection. We said that the Quran regards a human being as a being that is in motion and in a journey, and considers this journey to need some elements. One of them is faith. If this journey is towards perfection, it should have the faith, and also human beings should have righteous acts and righteous actions. And we said some of the obstacles in the way of having correct faith or having righteous action is, like, one of them was hawa, carnal desire of the soul that would stop people from having virtues, and the other was shaitan. We talked about the correct belief about shaitan and everything. Another thing is habit. When something, some behavior gets established in human soul. And there's a verse in the Holy Quran that says, قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَكَلَتِهِ. Tell that everyone is acting based on shakala. Shakala literally means pattern. So there are different interpretations. One of the words in the Holy Quran that has a lot of interpretation is this word. One of the interpretation is that shakala is behavioral pattern, which we call habit. So people are acting based on their habit. And if the habit is good, then the action also is good. If it's not, then no. So if you want to fix people's action, if you're going to fix your action, you need to see the habits that you have. Some of them you need to break, and some of them you need to develop. Another verse says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. You may ask, what's the relationship with this verse? This verse, this verse, you have heard it in many occasions. Generally, it says, within the Holy Quran, we send down through the Holy Quran whatever that is shifa, healing, and mercy for the believers. But the same Holy Quran does not give the dhalimeen, those who are unjust, does not give them except for khasara, means loss. And so here the word zalimin is important. Zalimin is not a person who has committed dhulm and injustice for once. Zalimin is the one who has a habit of injustice, doing injustice. And this wrong habit will make the situation in a way that is completely the opposite of mu'minin. So the same thing, the same scripture, the Holy Quran, is given to a group of people. So there was a group within this group who were mu'minun, and they benefited from this. And there was another group who were not mu'minun, they were dhalimun, they were unjust people, wrongdoers. And they, instead of taking benefit from it, they are actually getting lost. They what they receive only adds, only increase their loss in this. And this is strange. It's like saying, the example of it could be like, for example, there is this sunshine, the beam of light that comes from sun. And in one situation, it creates blessings and, I don't know, makes nature grows trees and everything. The same sunshine in another situation creates problems and troubles and destroys things. The difference is in the situation. Now, the difference is in the heart of people. Some people, their hearts are receptive of good things. Some people, their heart is so much upside down that they cannot receive the good thing from the Holy Quran. And they take it completely in the opposite way. And they only increase in the loss. We will have a break and we come back to explain more.
Do
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about how the wrong habit could be the source of vices and bad action. And we said that according to the verses of the Holy Quran, one of them was قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَكِلَتِهِ. People are acting based on the pattern that they have. One of the interpretations of the pattern is behavioral pattern, which is habit. The other one was that when something becomes established when a behavior becomes established in a person does not become ظالم just by one example of committing dhulm or injustice. Wrongdoer means a person who has a habit of wrongdoing. Dhulm is a person who is having a habit of injustice. Quran says it has a special result or consequence. And the consequence is that these people, their hearts will be upside down completely. They turn things in the opposite way. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meant to increase the faith and healing and mercy within the hearts of people. But in this upside down hearts, they get it completely in the opposite way. So what should we do about the habits? We should first know that what is the origin of this. Some people, unfortunately, in their communications, in their conversations, they have issues. It gets back to the habit of talking to people, even the habit of looking at things, the habit of evaluating and making judgment about people. They should fix that. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, "Lil adata ala kulli insanin sultan." Habit has dominance over every human being. So if it's a good habit, it means the person is dominated by a good thing. So his actions, if it is kindness, if it is respect, if it is anything good, then the result will be good. If not, then the outcome will be bad. Lisan okay, yastad'ik ma awwadtah. Your tongue will take you to the situation that you actually have created for your tongue. The habit that you create for your tongue will always create trouble for you. Even if you, some people, unfortunately, they get upset, they regret, but as if they don't, they can't stop it. There's another hadith that says, Al-Haddatu Dharbun Min Al-Junun. Having it being ill-tempered, bad-tempered, is a kind of insanity. Why? Because the person gets regrets it afterward. He's not happy with this. So it is because he has a habit that he does not like, and he cannot change it. Because one of the most difficult things in life is to change habits, and there's a way to change it, and that thing is by gradual process. Like the way that is a habit is created in our soul, the habit is created through gradual process. When, for example, especially at a young age, we do things in order to please our friends, for example, because they speak in a certain way, we try to speak like them or anything. There are different ways. And then it becomes established in our way of speaking. So we have to counter it with the same measure, which is a gradual process. And step by step, little by little, change it. And when we change habit, the hadith says that غَيِّرُ الْعَادَاتِ تَسْهُلُ عَلَيْكُمُ الطَّاعَاتِ. If you change your habit, then the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easy for you. If you change your habit, refraining from sin will become easy. It's only difficult because we have developed the habit of doing it. If we do the opposite, we develop a habit in refraining from sin, then it becomes easy. And we had examples of these great scholars, they had a habit of refraining from sin, actually, and it was easier for them to refrain from sin than doing it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in this regard. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
A recent survey conducted by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation found 5.7 million low-income households in the United Kingdom lacking enough money for food, which it called a horrendous new normal. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. According to a new report, British households' food bills have been driven up by more than £600 over the past 2 years by the global climate emergency and soaring energy prices, warning of further increases to come in 2024. Sounding the alarm over the impact from increasing extreme weather patterns for food production, the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit think tank said that global heating was directly contributing to the cost of living crisis. According to the analysis carried out by researchers from the universities of Bournemouth, Exeter and Sheffield, more extreme or unseasonal weather accounted for one-third of all food price inflation in the United Kingdom this year. Combined with the impact of soaring energy prices after the Russia-Ukraine war drove up gas, energy and fertilizer prices, it said British households had been hit by £605 in additional food costs in 2022 and 2023. While energy prices have fallen back this year, it warned that the impact from the climate emergency was actually increasing. Tom Lancaster, land analyst at the Energy and Climate Intelligence Unit, said, "Climate change is playing havoc with global food production, and this is inevitably feeding through to higher prices at the tills. Across 2022 and 2023, the climate emergency alone added the equivalent of 6 weekly shops to the average household food bill. According to the analysis, the cost of the climate crisis rose from £171 in 2022 to £192 in 2023, more than offsetting the effects of falling energy prices this year and having a greater impact than rising energy bills. Official figures show inflation in food and drink prices peaked at an annual rate of almost 20% earlier this year, the highest level since the 1970s, amid disruption to food supplies from weather events and soaring energy costs for producers. Food price inflation has fallen back in recent months but remains at historical highs of close to 10%. Prices are also still near record highs after recent storms, including Storm Babe, flooded swathes of farmland, hitting UK potato and vegetable harvest in the run-up to Christmas. In 2022, drought hit production of basic foodstuffs such as potatoes and onions in the United Kingdom, followed by an unusually wet harvest in 2023 and then the hottest September on record. It comes after heat waves across the Mediterranean, India and South America this year all had a major impact on food production and food prices. Staples, including sugar, rice and tomatoes, were affected by extreme weather, such as droughts in India, while olive oil rose in price by 50% after 2 years of drought and heat waves in Spain and other major exporters in southern Europe. The situation could be worse next year, while the El Niño weather system leading possibly to more severe weather and further increases in food prices. Professor Wynne Morgan of Sheffield University, one of the report's authors, said, "Given we expect climate impacts to get worse, it is likely that climate change will continue to fuel a cost-of-living crisis for the foreseeable future." Anna Taylor, the executive director at the Food Foundation, said the government needed to think more seriously how households can become more resilient to price volatility in the light of the likely impact of the climate crisis. Anna Taylor called on the government to revive its plans for a horticulture strategy that would build production of fruit and vegetables in the United Kingdom and reduce reliance on crops grown in southern Europe, which is becoming increasingly vulnerable to drought and extreme heat as a result of the climate crisis. A separate report from the Food Foundation warned that retailers and hospitality venues in Britain were failing to create a food environment where healthy choices are affordable, readily available and appealing. It found healthy food was already twice as expensive as unhealthy food per calorie, while the cost of sustainable alternatives to meat and dairy can also be high. According to the report, most main meals offered by many pub chains regularly exceed 50% of the recommended daily intake for calories, saturated fat, salt and sugar. Meanwhile, just 1% of food advertising spent goes towards fruit and vegetables, compared with 9% on meat and dairy products, while 21.5% of buy one, get one free deals are on meat and dairy, compared with just 4.5% on fruit and vegetables. Lancaster said the dependence of Britain's current farming system on volatile oil, gas, fertilizer prices has created a perfect storm of extreme weather, high gas prices and global instability to food price inflation. Lancaster added, "The important news is that steps to make farming more sustainable cannot only cut emissions but also make our food production more resilient to the extremes of flooding and drought." The British government plans in England to support greener farming with more hedge growth, improved soil health and tree planting schemes are therefore vital to our future food security. Euronews has also covered the same story and tells us more. A recent survey found rising prices have pushed almost one-third of Europeans into a precarious financial situation. The second European barometer on poverty and precariousness examined Europeans' ability to make purchases and found that it had declined over the past 3 years, forcing a majority of them skip meals and resort to making difficult financial choices. Of the 10,000 people surveyed by Ipsos for French Secours Populaire, 29% said their financial situation was precarious and any unexpected expenses would make their balance tip. Nearly one in two Europeans think that they face a high risk of falling into a precarious situation in the next few months, succumbing to rising prices and relatively stagnant pay. According to Eurostat, The 2021 at-risk of poverty rate for the total population of the European Union stood at 17%. Only 15% said they were confident and did not feel the need to pay attention to their everyday expenses. According to the survey results, a vast majority of Europeans have already had to compromise on their choices due to difficult financial conditions. Rampant inflation in almost every sector forced these complicated choices, which include skipping a meal despite being hungry. Almost one in three Europeans said they have skipped a meal when hungry, with Greece and Moldova having particularly high numbers.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam, by Ayatollah Khamenei. Palestine, a big wound on the body of the Islamic Ummah. March 4, 2010. Take a look at the conditions of Palestine in the present time. Palestine is only an example. Of course, it is a very important example, but the situation is not particular to Palestine. Take a look at Palestine and see that the Islamic Ummah suffers from a great wound, which is the disaster that has befallen the great people and the historical land and the holy land of Palestine. What have they done to this land? What have they done to these people? What are they doing to them in the present time? Is the event of Gaza forgettable? Is it possible to erase it from the mind of the Islamic Ummah? The pressures, savage acts, cruelties, and the oppressions that have been committed against the people of Gaza continue to exist even after the 22-day war, during which the Zionist government was defeated and failed to achieve its goals. But despite these crimes, the Islamic Ummah cannot defend them. The Islamic Ummah has faced this phenomenon as if it were not related to it. It behaves as though it were not its right to stand up against this usurpation. It behaves as though this oppression were not shown against it. Why are we like this? Why has the Islamic Ummah faced this situation? A dangerous and deadly cancer, namely the fake Zionist and Israeli government, has been created by the enemies of Islam and the Islamic Ummah. Its supporters, who have collaborated with it in showing oppression and committing great sins, continue to support it, while the Islamic Ummah cannot defend itself. This is our weakness. Why is that? We should make up for this weakness by returning to Islam and pivoting around the teachings of the Holy Prophet of Islam.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The path to liberating Palestine is nothing but resistance. February 27, 2010. The path of Quds, the path of Palestine, and the path of resolving the issue of Palestine is the path of fighting. As was pointed out by the gentleman in this meeting, there is no other path for Palestine. I am happy to see that all of you agree with and believe in this issue. Those people who do not accept this path, whether knowingly or unknowingly, are delivering a blow to the issue of Palestine.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The ongoing boycott campaign against pro-Israeli products has set in motion a transformative period for Western businesses in Pakistan. Faced with a resounding call for boycott, pro-US and pro-Israeli companies find themselves compelled to make strategic adjustments. In response, these outlets have slashed their product prices by up to 50%, a desperate measure to bring customers back to their shops. However, the people of Pakistan remain steadfast in their commitment to uphold the boycott as a demonstration of solidarity with the oppressed communities in Gaza.
I am fully behind the boycott against pro-US and pro-Israeli companies. It's heartbreaking to witness the ongoing war crimes in Gaza, and it's time we use our consumer power to send a strong message.
Boycotting is our way of expressing solidarity with the innocent lives affected by the war on Gaza. These pro-Israeli and pro-US companies must understand that we won't support businesses linked to such atrocities. It's time to prioritize humanity over profit.
The people of Pakistan vowed to continue their boycott campaign till the complete ceasefire in Gaza.
These companies need to be held accountable for their affiliations with the US and Israel, and our collective stand can make a real difference.
The boycott has cast a shadow over the sales of superstores selling Western products in Pakistan, prompting a strategic shift in their offerings, giving more prominence to locally sourced items.
In response to intense boycott pressure, pro-Israeli companies are offering substantial discounts as a strategic move to regain customer trust after aligning with the US and Israel. This shows the complex interactions between geopolitical developments, consumer behavior, and national socio-political structures. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Just as the Palestinian people on October the 7th made the world pay attention to their plight, the global civil society is playing a major role in realizing justice for Palestine. A senior Hamas delegation visiting South Africa has stressed that people's sincere voices and actions are making considerable changes in that regard. One of the key changes noted by Hamas is how the narrative about Palestine has changed this time. As part of the visit by the senior Hamas representatives, they will meet with civil organizations, activists, as well as officials here. While the South African Parliament has passed a resolution to sever ties with the Israeli regime, the government appears reluctant to implement that decision.
The Israeli narratives, it has been defeated a lot. The people, they start asking their own governments about what is happening, why you are supporting those criminals of war, the Israelis. And after 2 years today, we are witnessing the winning of the Palestinian narrative, and that is because of you. You have marched into the streets and told the international community what is the realities over there, and because of the innocent bloods which has been shed by those criminals inside Gaza.
South Africa also faces the challenge of its citizens who are part of the Israeli military force. Despite legislation banning that, the country is yet to prosecute any of these mercenaries. Hamas says governments need to take action. They say many countries have approached them to retrieve bodies of Israeli troops killed in Gaza.
A lot of countries around the world came to us asking about their people. I don't know why if someone is Israeli when he is killing Palestinian, he became suddenly a French or an Italian or a Russian. Suddenly they came, they are negotiating how to get our people. Why you are allowing your people to fight or to kill Palestinians? If they are your people, you have to stop them from participating in this terrorist organization, the so-called IDF.
While Hamas is committed to the current temporary ceasefires and exchange of prisoners, an end to violence will only be achieved through a comprehensive agreement which includes the Gaza Strip, the West Bank and Al-Quds.
We are talking about a political conflict, and this political conflict cannot be solved by military tools. They have attacked the Palestinians now for more than 100 years. And the Palestinians insisting on struggling, on raising their voices, they have to accept that we have ambitions, we have dreams of independence, of freedom and dignity.
The Israeli regime has threatened to expand its deadly bombing campaign to southern Gaza when the temporary truce ends. But the Palestinian resistance is determined to stand steadfast in the face of any such adventurism. Hassan Sirip, Cape Town.
Nation, martyrdom, sacrifice and commitment. These are words deeply familiar to the Iranian people. They have been under heavy Western pressure and unilateral illegal sanctions since the victory of the Islamic Revolution 44 years ago. The world's powers have used all means to stop Iran from achieving progress, including the assassination of its scientists, specifically those who would have helped the country to make nuclear advancements. The assassinations, which have been orchestrated by the U.S. and implemented by the Israeli regime, have been condemned by many countries around the world. In the capital, Tehran, a gathering was held on Wednesday to commemorate those martyred scientists. The participants say that the Israeli regime does not want a powerful Iran.
We are here on behalf of the people and the country of Bolivia to pay our respects to the martyrs of Iran and all of those who were killed by the imperialist attacks of Israel, which is trying to prevent the progress of the people of Iran and its scientists in the nuclear field for its own interests. We believe that Iran should continue its scientific development in the nuclear field because this issue is important for the progress of any society.
America planted the Zionist regime in the region as a base for the West. For this reason, the West tried from the beginning to make this regime always more advanced than the countries in the region. America and Israel targeted the Islamic Republic, which has been trying to gain power and independence. The independence of the Islamic Republic of Iran angered the West. That is why they try to weaken Iran in any way possible and stop Iranian projects at any level. One of the most important things they tried was assassinations. These assassinations were carried out by Israel Mossad, which is known as the largest terrorist organization in the world.
Iran is a country that, despite international pressure and the assassination of its scientists, has become stronger day by day and has shown that it has never retreated from its ideals and values. Farzan Ashuryun, Tehran.
People took to the streets of Pakistan to express their solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine who are confronting Israeli atrocities.
Free, free Palestine! Free, free Palestine!
Whoever talks about humanity, they must stand with the Palestinian women, they must stand with the innocent Palestinians.